Marriage. This is my jam. Marriage is my thing. But before we get started, this is going to be your beginning with the end in mind activation. So I want everybody to write three words on a piece of paper or keep them in your phone, however you take notes. And you're going to think about these three things as I talk or the Holy Spirit talks through me. Capture notes. And these are this is going to be your action plan when you leave here. So we're not up here for pastortainment. I'm not even a pastor. So I'm not here to entertain you. And so here's the three words. First word is stop. S-T-O-P. Stop. Like a stop sign. Second word is start. S-T. Add eggs to the flour and the sugar. And the last word is continue. So stop, start, continue. Stop as you listen and I share. Think about things that you hear that are not producing good fruit in your life that you want to what? Stop. You're going to write those things down. Think about things that you hear that are like, that's a new insight, new wisdom. I want to start trying that. That sounds like it's based in what God says. And the last is, yeah, that thing, I do it, and it works well. I'm going to continue. So it gives you a nice range of not just what are the three things you have to do, but you're just going to stop something, start something, continue. Amen? If we were doing this in a group and we had more time, we would actually then break out and share those and do that. So that's something you can do. It's a really easy way to activate the learning and really allow for transformation to start to happen before you leave the room. Because many times we come, we take notes, we go home, and it's gone. If we don't really plant it now, we lose it, and it doesn't become new transformation. Amen? All right. So marriage is my jam. I'm qualified to do this. How many of you have heard the expression, God takes your mess and turns it into a message for other people? I got messiness. And so here's vulnerability number three. I'm on my second marriage to my wife. We've been married 8 years. 1 month after we were married, I had an affair. Oops. Yeah. And the way I used to tell the story was like this. And I've been a Christian, but not walking, never discipled, so just was doing whatever. Yeah, believing in God, but not walking it, right? So I was married for 20 years, right out of college, went in the military, really unhealthy marriage, got divorced, moved to Phoenix in 2007, and I went crazy like people in the world go crazy when they're in their 20s, because I didn't have that. Went crazy, did all the crazy stuff, right? Then after 2 years, I'm like, I'm going to die, I'm going to be in jail, or I'm going to lose a limb doing the crazy stuff that I'm doing, right? And so met my wife in 2008. But man, she's pretty cool, right? She'd been married a few times before, so she had her own messes. And she was like down to keep doing all this crazy stuff. So we were going to strip clubs and we were watching pornography and doing stuff together, right? Which wasn't healthy, but we were doing it together, so there was no conflict. So I thought, man, this is great. We're continuing on doing this, right? She was also Christian, but way backsliding. And that's probably not even the right word. It's probably more like landslide backwards. Like a landslide backwards, like a backwards tsunami. And so we were doing this stuff and doing this stuff, and moral compass is spinning out of control. And then, like I said, about a month after we got married, was on a trip. One thing led to another, had an affair. She found out 4 months later, and our whole world crashed. Sometimes you have to hit rock bottom to build up, right? Whole world crashed. And, you know, we went to therapy and counseling. It was explained like, yeah, you know, it's just a mistake, something I did, bad judgment, bad decision. And the therapist said, no, there's a root cause here. It wasn't until many, many years later. And today I'll tell you that. Let me go to the end. Today we have the best marriage ever, like the best marriage. We've been doing marriage coaching, marriage counseling, marriage groups. We moved to Connecticut and planted a group in our church there. Part of that group continues today. The people that we turned it over to moved to Atlanta, and they're starting a new group there. So God has used us to help marriages. So that's the good part. Took our mess into a message. And so for years it was just like, yeah, it was a mistake, shouldn't do that. Let's do a lot of behavior modification stuff. Don't do these things, right? Which doesn't get true transformation. Behavior modification without heart transformation is deception. You are deceiving and believe that you're transformed, but you're just stopping all this behavior. You're not really transformed, right? And so it's more recently I've been doing some inner healing work through some people in our church, Dr. Matt, and I realized that the real root cause is I have had believed the lie that I was not worthy. Back to the heart wounds. And so guess what I sought my whole life because I had this thing? I sought validation. My addiction was validation. To validate me from as a child, oldest, growing up, was close to my mother. And so guess where that validation came from? Women. Right? Women were the place, because my mom was, you know, I was the oldest. I spent a lot of time with her. She gave me a lot of my identity, came from my mother. And so as I grew up, as women paid attention or gave me whatever, that's where my validation came from. As I look back, even on my 20-year marriage, I never had an affair. But as I look at it now, I had a lot of emotional affairs. I now recognize that there were things that I did that weren't really healthy in marriage, but they weren't physical affairs. But it was because I was seeking validation. It wasn't until recently that I really understood my identity, understanding who I am in Christ, and walking in that, and being free of that, not just the behavior side, but truly being healed, whole, and healthy. Thank you to Jesus. Amen. So that was my story, and that's what I've been able to share. My wife, if I told you her story, she had daddy issues. She had a father that was very negative and abusive, so she grew up always feeling like she was never enough. And even to this day, as she's working through that, if I make a suggestion like, hey, honey, it's going to be cold, wear your coat. She hears her father's voice saying, you idiot, don't you know it's cold? Why don't you bring your coat? And so I have to like tread lightly there and do things gently because she has been wounded based on her father. The other thing is she has a hard time following and listening to what God says because he's a man, right? God is a father, and her father experience was bad. So she resists and repels anything from any man and a lot of things from God. So that's our story. That sounds like two good marriage teachers, right? A lot of messiness in there. But guess what? We all have messiness. We all have some mess. And one of the things that happens is we get with a partner and we put all that blame, focus, energy on them to help us with our heart wound that they had nothing responsible for. Right? And that creates the messes that we see. And what we have to really do is learn to be filled up to overflowing from our Father so that we can give our partners grace and space to grow through their messiness without taking it personally so we can each be filled up with the Father's love. We were not designed to love each other with human love, as Pastor said, for 100 years. It runs out after a while, right? We have to be filled every day to overflowing in order to love people through their messes. There's extra grace required. There's extra grace required that we don't have. So we don't have to feel bad about it. We can say, hey, Father, I'm going to borrow your love. Let it overfill me so that I can love my wife, my kids, people at church, at work, because I can't do it. And so those are some of the things that I've learned. I'm going to share more of what I've learned as we've been doing marriage ministry. So here are some of the principles that I've learned. This is the book of marriage according to James. Marriage only works if it's in first place. Marriage can't be on the back burner. Marriage cannot be on autopilot. The only time you have to work at marriage every day till Jesus returns. It's the same as the deal we got, right? We have to work at it. Hopefully we're not working on the same things because we're getting healed. But the only time we're ever coasting in life is if we're riding downhill. So if you feel like you're coasting, you're probably headed downhill and you're going to crash. Other than that, it's like climbing a hill, one foot in front of the other. And it doesn't stop. It doesn't matter if you get tired. That's why we need his power to continue to climb to the top of that mountain in our marriages. Amen? So marriage must be in first place. It only works if you do it God's way. So check this out. God created marriage He wrote the owner's manual. He's the owner. He wrote the blueprint. So why do you think marriages don't work when people do it their own way? It wasn't designed to operate. If you take an expensive car, a Lamborghini, and you take it out to the desert on trails, how do you think it's going to work? Right? But it's an expensive car. It's good. It's not operating as designed. So when we don't operate in our marriages as designed, we get 51% of people divorced. And I think it's even higher in the church. So it's not like the church is any better. And I would bet the other 40% of people, 40 of the rest of 49, are probably miserable and wish they could be divorced. So it only works when you do it as designed, just like anything else, right? In first place, do it God's way. God must be the center of your marriage. There's no boss in marriage. There's no she's the boss, you're the boss. No, Jesus is the boss of our marriage. It has to be that way. It has to be built 1 + 1 + Jesus = 1. 1 + 1 = 0 if Jesus is not in the mix. That's God math. 1 + 1 + Jesus = 1. Man, woman without Jesus is 0. Amen? That is God math because he's the designer. He created it. The number one goal of relationship is to protect the connection. This is from a book Danny Silk wrote called Keeping Your Love On. Keep Your Love On. So the number one goal of relationship, and this is for all relationships, like a lot of things we learn in marriage, we can apply to all relationships. But the number one goal is to protect the connection. So there's man, woman, and there's this thing called the connection. And if we keep the connection strong, then we can work through our messiness and have a way to deal with that and have grace. Soon as the connection and we turn away from each other, we have no ability to continue to have the support and love and encouragement that we need to all work and grow the way God designed us. Amen? So number one is connection. A healthy marriage looks like this. Two people selflessly and sacrificially serving each other. So selflessly and sacrificially. Not what comes easy, not what you like to do that she also likes, but sacrificially. Because that really is the sacrifice, right? Out of the overflow of God's unconditional love. So you don't have to serve sacrificially or selflessly out of your own power, your own energy. It's out of God's love. Because that's the unconditional love, the agape love that God promises. Here's the other one, especially for people that aren't married yet. Anybody not married yet in here? Yeah, this is for you guys. Check this out. You must be good all by yourself right now, filled up to overflowing with God, right? And when God brings that right person, you are made better together. Better together. There's no you complete me, you fill me up. Marriage is not 50-50. It's 100-100. If you're not 100, you're doing a disservice to that person that you're marrying. So it's not wait till marriage to do it. It's get to 100 now. You guys listening, taking notes? 100. And how many of you who are married wish you had applied that and knew that the first time you got married? Yeah, look at that. Look at that. Yep. We're all learning it. We're here to tell you. It's all about God created us with everything we need as long as we're plugged into him. No one is going to be our savior, but together we can be better to fulfill what God's planned for us. So a couple of scriptures. Many of you have heard the scripture that says, this is Genesis 2:24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined with his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Everybody heard that? Did you know that it also says that in Matthew 19:5? For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. It also says it in Mark 10:8. And the two shall become one flesh, so that they are no longer two but one. It also says it in Ephesians 5:31. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So God told us that 4 times in the Bible. You think it's important? You think we ought to pay attention? Do you think we ought to do it? Like when God speaks 4 times, the same message, different ways. He's trying to come and explain to us, this is the key. leaving your mother and father, and two, becoming one. It's all about becoming one. So I'm gonna share with you a definition that I have for what I call the kingdom marriage. I talked about being a kingdom man. Here's a kingdom marriage. Kingdom marriage is a covenantal union between a man and a woman who commit themselves to function in unison under the divine authority in order to replicate God's image and expand his rule in the world through both their individual and joint callings. So again, it's a covenantal union. It's a union, man and woman, function in unison. They agree to come into one accord, unison, right? Under the divine authority of God, in order to replicate his image and expand his rule in the world through their individual and joint callings. So here's the thing. Many times couples get married and they don't understand what is the kingdom purpose for bringing us together. What they think about is, oh, I love you. I want to have kids, have a house, two dogs, picket fence, 401k, take vacations, right? Retire and whatever, and that's what we want. But that's what we want. Those are the benefits, and we chase after those. And when we don't get those, we're disappointed. But here's the thing. What if we flipped it on its head? Instead of chasing after all the fruit, what if we chased after the purpose for which God brought us together? What if, which involves us having to understand what that purpose is. If we knew the purpose for which God brought us together, and we chased that with passion and purpose and energy, all those things would be added unto us. Where have we heard that before? Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be what? Same thing in marriage. If we start with the purpose and not the things will be added. What's Ephesians 3:20 say? He who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could hope for, plan for, pray. It's the same thing in marriage. If we chase after God and his purpose for our marriage, if we get married and we don't know the purpose, we shouldn't get married. If we don't know the purpose, don't get married. There should be a test when you get married that the pastor stands up and says, okay, I know the two of you are joined here today. What's the purpose for your marriage? Like, they should have to go through a quiz. What they go through is marriage counseling. Do this, do that. You want to have kids, blah, 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 blah. No, do you understand the purpose? The God-ordained purpose for your marriage. And let me understand, before you got married, how you've been pursuing that. Then you're ready to get married. Singles? Got it? Because then guess what? Matthew 6:33. All these things will be? Amen. That's easy when they're added. What do we sing a song? The blessings will chase after and overtake us, right? That's the key. When we pursue God's purpose as a couple, everything else we value in life, happiness, love, satisfaction, just falls into place. And it's easy. It's back to Richie. All flow, no. There you go. It works in marriage too. All right. So now what I want to do is I want to share with you, has anybody ever heard of Jimmy Evans of Marriage Today Ministry? If you go on YouTube and type in Jimmy Evans, he created the Marriage Today Ministry. They've got books, they've got videos. You can go on YouTube and watch 30-minute videos that have every topic in marriage, finances, sex, children, communication, every topic you can think of. From a biblical standpoint, he's a great Bible teacher, right? And you can learn. It's a great thing you can do with your spouse, with kids, to understand how to prepare for marriage. Jimmy Evans, Marriage Today. Find it on YouTube. I'm talking to the young people, right? But he wrote a book. He has a book called Marriage on the Rock. Not rocks. Marriage on the Rock. So you don't get in the rocks. And in his book, Marriage on the Rock, he's been around for 25 years. He walks through God's blueprint for marriage. That's what we used to do all of our early teaching out of in our marriage groups. We walk down through chapter by chapter, the videos, the homework, and all that, because, again, it gets back to the foundation. Recently, in 2020, he took the first chapter, and it's called The Four Laws of Love. So this is like the first chapter of the book. This is like the beginning, the foundation, the start. So what I want to give you today are a sample, what I call the Costco Saturday sample. Anybody had the samples at Costco on Saturday? And they're so good that you buy the 75 pounds of peanuts with tzatziki sauce on them or whatever that you don't need. Because the sample was so good, it's the same here. So I'd recommend that if you, a book reader, a book summarizer, if you like to listen on Audible, get this, because it really breaks down the four laws, what he used to call marriage and I call love. So I'm going to give you the summary of them. All right, number one, law of love, is the law of priority. So right in Genesis 2:24, it says, two become one. Priority. Marriage only works if it's in first place. It can't come after work, family, church, hobbies, sports, all the addictions we talked about. It has to go like this. God, spouse, family, friends, church, work. Has to be in that order. It cannot work if the marriage is in third or fourth place. What you get is 51% divorce and 40% miserable. It has to be in first place. Here's another thing. Men and women have different needs in different orders. What's the number one need for men, guys? What is it? No, it's not sex. Sex is actually number two. Yes, for men, the number one need is respect. We would rather hear, I respect you than I love you from our spouses. Amen? Men, we will slide down a sliding board with cut glass into a pool of lemon juice for our wife to say, oh, honey, that was so good. You were just so good. I respect you. Right? Don't we? We would run through a glass wall for our wives to say, I respect you. I love you. Yeah, but respect me. Right? And so what happens is, what happens when we feel disrespected? We turn away. Right? Because our number one need is not sex, it's respect. That's something that we demand. And when we do this with couples and the wives understand that, they can see how if we disrespect, even unintentionally, that's causing the condition that's going on in our marriage. One side of it, right? What's women's number one need? Love. You guys have heard of love and respect, right? It is in the Bible. There's a series called Love and Respect that comes from Ephesians 5, whatever that is, love and respect. They're different, right? And so when women don't feel loved, guess what they do to us? They disrespect. And we feel disrespected, guess what we do? What do we withdraw? Our love. It's what we call the crazy cycle. Anybody ever been in the crazy cycle? Of course we have. And here's the thing. We'll stay in that crazy cycle and walk around the mountain for 40 years until somebody breaks out of it. What does God say about the peacemakers? Peacemakers shall what? Inherit, exactly. So we need to be the peacemakers, guys. Swallow our pride. Because remember, we're the kings, prophets, and priests of the home. It's not supposed to be our women that take the lead. It's supposed to be us. So even though we don't like it, we got to swallow our bowling ball-sized pride. Bowling ball-sized pride. Right? Maybe take a little olive oil to help it go down. And we need to be the ones to go to our wife with love first. Who loves us first? We have an example, right? God, Jesus, us. We are in that order, so we swallow our pride. We go to our spouses in love first. Then guess what we get in return? And then guess what we do? And guess what happens? Now we're in the healthy cycle that God created. Amen? That's the key to making it a priority. Okay, the second law is pursuit. It says in Genesis, the other part of Genesis 2:24 says, and shall cleave to his wife. cleave to his wife. That's the Bible way of saying pursue his wife. A man shall pursue his wife. Remember what it was like when you were dating? Remember what you when you saw her for the first time, what she was wearing, and how that gave you those butterflies, and you tried to figure out, man, how can I get at her? Like, I got to get her number. I got to get her Instagram today. Like, I got to figure out how. Man, she's rejecting me, and that just makes me want her more. Remember that pursuit we had? Well, that can't ever stop. You need to continue to date and pursue your wife until Jesus comes back. Once you see Jesus, you can stop. Because I don't think we're connected anymore, at least at that point. But until you see Jesus' face in front of you, you need to pursue your wife just like you did when you were 18, 20, whatever age, and never, ever stop. It's the law of pursuit. If you don't pursue, the opposite of pursuit is taking for granted. How many of you like feeling taken for granted? Don't anybody raise your hand, right? Our wives don't either. We need to pursue, pursue, pursue. Date nights. Make them feel special. Even though you're married, act like boyfriend and girlfriend. Think about that. Think about the difference between an old married couple and the boyfriend and girlfriend. You can see them when you're out at restaurants, when they're young and in love and they're talking and they're sharing, they're excited. It doesn't matter what's happened in life. We have to keep that pursuit. We can't ever lose. Pastor taught about returning to our first love of Jesus. It's the same with our spouses. We got to return to what it was like in the beginning, that first love, those butterflies. And guess what, guys? Whose job is it to initiate that? That's right. We can either as men be thermometers and we can report the temperature of our relationship, or we can be thermostats and change the atmosphere. And here's what happens. Because two become one, if only you change, you just change the marriage by default because you are two become one. So if you change the way you operate, your marriage changes even if your wife doesn't do a single thing. But eventually she's going to be thinking, what's going on with him? Wow, something's really... Now, in the Bible, it talks about how the woman should honor the husband, blah, 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 blah. How much more do you think she wants to follow you if she sees you're lined up one-to-one with Jesus Christ, right? All the walls go away when she sees you are directly connected to God. And that's how he designed it. Here's the other thing. Back to the idea of the vision for which marriage was created, something that we should all do. Does anybody at their job have a vision for what their company's going to do, what they're going to accomplish, right? You have visions, right? People have vision boards. What about the vision for your marriage? Think about doing a vision retreat. Jimmy Evans has a resource. It's called the Marriage Vision Retreat. And it goes through all parts of life. This is something really good to do before you get married. This should be another test before you marry people, Pastor. What's your vision board look like for your marriage? Because it talks about family. Who's going to work? Who's going to make the money? How are we going to do the dishes? How many kids are we going to have? Are we going to go to in-laws on holidays? Are we going to go here? Like, all these things creates a vision, and it's all informed by what God said, not by what you want. So if we line up to that vision and every year get away with our spouses and do a retreat and revisit that, just like you do at work, you have offsites and talk about the business, then your marriage will be strong. That's the pursuit. Amen. My wife and I have been doing that now for, I think, 7 years. During the pandemic, we revisited that 3 times because things were going crazy, right? We needed to really make sure, is our true north centered on God with all this craziness going on? And what it allows you to do is make decisions based on that filter of what is the vision that God has for our marriage, not what's going to make us happy or easy. So pursuit. Number one, priority. Number two, pursuit. Number three is partnership. Genesis 2:24 says, the two shall become one flesh. Partners. There is nothing that your partner does or you do that's not shared. There is no separate, I do this, she does that. We are one. We are partners with our spouses. Finances is the number one thing we hear about in marriage. It's because no matter how much money you get, it doesn't matter if you got $10 million, the stars get divorced all the time. It has nothing to do with the quantity of the money. It has to do with the fact that it's a limited resource. And what it challenges is not how much money you can make. Can I be on the same page with my spouse with values and beliefs? That's all it is. It's not about the money. People that have 100, didn't Bezos just get divorced? And Microsoft guy, it has nothing to do with how much money you have. It has to do with, are we aligned and on the same page about things in our lives? So it's a partnership. Whatever is yours is mine and mine is yours. We share 100%. There's no 50-50. It's 100-100. So partnership. And there cannot be in a partnership one partner at 51% and someone else at 49%. It's got to be an equal partnership. There cannot be a dominant person in the marriage. They've got to be equal. Each person needs to feel that their partner is a safe place for them to come. And as Pastor talked about, share thoughts, dreams, desires. We are partners. Because remember, if we have the same vision that God's given us, and we are partners in executing us, all these things will be exactly. Also, from the time we get married at whatever age to the time many years later, we are growing as individuals, aren't we? Are we the same person as we were when we got married? And don't we need some space to be able to grow in a safe space, right? So that's the partnership. We have to allow our spouses to grow, because if we're not growing, we're dead, right? And so they're going to grow, we're going to grow. We have to be the safe place to allow room, space with grace, I like to call it, for our partners to grow. Sometimes that growth is pretty messy. How many of you have ever been in yourself or other people that have a lot of mess, right? Trauma and things that have gone on in life, and they need to grow through it and not feel shame, not feel condemnation, and not feel judgment. That's the hard part. As soon as you ask, here's a real tip I'll give you. When you're talking to people in your life and they tell you something, never ask the question why. Just take why out of your vocabulary. As soon as you say why, it comes across as a judgment. Because now I'm trying to figure out your motivation for why you did that thing. If you say, what did you do? How did you do that? Where did you do that? Now, those are all listening and furthering the conversation questions. But try this, guys, as a test. Never ask why. Because it continues to keep the connection when you don't do that. Just think about when someone says, well, why did you do that? You just can't help but feel judged, and now I got to defend myself, and the walls go up. So we have to be a safe space to go. The last one is purity. So we have priority, pursuit, and purity. Genesis 2:25 says, and the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Pure. There was no shame until after the sin. They were pure. They were naked and unafraid. What this means is sharing of fears, dreams, aspirations, struggles. It's back to we're ending where Pastor started with being vulnerable. Marriage is about being able to be vulnerable. I said to my wife this morning, the one thing I don't want you to know that I'm doing right now is I don't feel prepared for today. I don't want you to know that, and I'm telling you that. That's being vulnerable. Right, so that she can listen. I also tailor that sometimes with, and I don't want you to give me an answer. I just want you to listen to me. I don't need you to agree with me. So I set it up like, hey, I'm going to share something with you that I don't want to tell you, but I don't want you to tell me the answer or tell me what I should have done. I'm just sharing with you being vulnerable. Like I literally said that this morning. So you have to process this vulnerability thing so that you're naked and unashamed, emotionally, physically, spiritually connected to our spouses. So number one, priority. Number two is pursuit. Number three is partnership. Number four is purity. When we operate under these laws of marriage, these are laws that God gave us. When we follow laws, all these things will be added to us. We'll experience the fruit. We won't be beating our head against the wall trying to chase after things. They'll all be added to us. So what I want everybody to do right now, let's take 2 minutes and write down what you gathered as stop, start, and continue from these four laws of priority. Just think of one thing, two things that you want to stop that don't work, and your spouses are going to go, what happened to them? They need to have more marriages. Chad, have a marriage conference. I mean, have a men's conference every week. Those guys got to go there because they're coming home different. So write down your stop, start, continue.